Place Christian Church. Kind of a small crowd, isn't it? Everybody enjoyed the weather so much yesterday, they decided to stay home, I guess. Enjoy some more nice weather. My name is Sean Kelly, and I am the worship leader this morning. And it's so great to have you all here this morning. And those online, we welcome you. And if please sign the attendance pad. It is important that we know who is here. And those online, if you leave a comment in the comment section so we know that you are with us this morning, that really helps us. We want pleasure to have Dr. Marilyn Graham with us this morning, and she's given us in our at the pulpit. Pastor Derry and Mary are at the General Assembly in Memphis, Tennessee. And I saw on Facebook, you might have too, that they look like they're having a great assembly. Today's card in the back is for Donna Walters. We want to make sure that if you didn't already stop and sign it, that you sign the card for her. Let her know that we are thinking of her and praying for her. And we definitely miss her in church. List of upcoming events are in the bulletin. Schedule of activities. I noticed on the bulletin or on the billboard or the bulletin back there that they have a sign up for helping with the garage sale. So if you have time to help with the garage sale, in there. I know that Susan has some announcements.
Yes, I have a couple things to bring this morning. Next Sunday's board meeting that was scheduled will be postponed until the following Sunday, July 27th at 12:30. And I've been asked by the family of Helen Steed to let you know that the celebration of her life will be here at the church on Wednesday, July 16th at 11:30, and the service will be live streamed. Thank you.
And we have an elders meeting at 11 today, 11 o'clock, so don't be like me and be late like I was last time. Are there any other announcements? Let us prepare ourselves for worship. Please stand, if you're able, for the call to worship. We have gathered from our different places to worship here.
Worship together.
We come from our different occupations and our diverse activities.
Worship together.
We come in unique individuals bound together in the love of Christ.
Good it is to worship together.
Our hymn of praise this morning is, or our opening hymn, sorry, is Leaning on Everlasting Arms, number 560, all verses. Join me in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of unity and blessings of dwellings together in harmony. Just as Psalms 133 describes, may we experience the joy and refreshment that comes from living in unity with our fellow believers. Help us to overcome differences, to forgive quickly, and to love one another with pure heart. May our unity be a testimony to your love and a beacon of hope to the world. We pray for your blessings to rest upon our relationships, both within our local church and throughout our border Christian community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning to everyone. Jerry has had a tradition that everyone in the first row gets a treat. Well, that's not going to work this morning because we start on row two. So I've asked Kathy to hand out little treats. And you may start. You may start up here with Sean and with Judy if you want. They are really up here at the front. Yeah, you can have as many as you want. I started worrying and I thought, what if we run out? What if there's so many people we have to move garage sale stuff outside? I don't know, but that didn't happen. But Kathy, I'm going to put this on you. You can go back as far as you want. My lips are sealed. We are all adults here. Jerry will never have to know. We will not tell him. Oh, so now she's just going to give them to the people in the back row. That wasn't the plan, but no. So, okay, there we go. So, my apologies. If you in the front don't have candy, I guess I'll take you out for coffee after church. Okay, that's the way we're going to roll this morning. We're going to do everything in reverse. Yeah, we can do that. While Kathy's handing out this candy, I will tell you a little conversation I heard this morning. A couple of our deacons were visiting, and I was so proud. My heart just burst with joy because they were saying, the people in our church, they are so good and so kind and so willing to help. However, now I get stuck on pivotal words like however and, you know, things like that. They said, however, if you ask those people on the back row to move or to seat someone in their pew, their demeanor changes. I'm just saying. But with that, while Kathy's still handing out candy, a lot of us attended Ivan Schrock's funeral yesterday. That was very lovely, and he was a very special man in our church. And I walked in, and someone said, hi, Marilyn. They said, sit here. This is the very back row of Elliott Mortuary. True story. The back row on both sides was full of Park Place members. Now, I've never in my life sat in the back row in church, at a wedding, at a funeral. That was the first for me. And I want to tell you what happened to me. And I really loved Ivan. I've known him for years, knew Paulette, knew the girls. I'm thinking, I wasn't focused. I was thinking, did I turn the crock pot on? Did I blow the candle out? Is my phone turned off? Did I leave my keys in my car? Are they in my purse? I wonder, let's say that would be Claire's son, and I'm going through all of this. So for me, the back row doesn't work on any reason. That I'm just saying that was a funny little story. Not everyone at Park Place sat on the back row. Many moved up where we were supposed to, so that was quite a hoot. But Kathy, are we running out of candy? Okay. Well, I am going to let her continue with that. And while she is doing that, does anyone have joys or concerns, celebrations we could share? And if so, Craig will bring the mic to you. Okay, Susan does.
This is Susan Hill, and I need to correct the time for Helen's service. It will be Wednesday at 11 o'clock. This Wednesday at 11 o'clock.
Okay, thank you, Susan.
This is Danny Stahl. I've got a joy. I guess it's a joy. Our Hutchinson Monarchs are going to go to the World Series again. They're the Jayhawk Collegiate Champions. They still have three games, but it doesn't matter. They're champions.
Wonderful.
Then Ruth Kirby, I hesitated to do this because some of you know more than I do. You're wondering where Sean and Margie are. I am too. No, he said he called and said he took her to the emergency. He took her to the emergency room this morning. And that's about all I know. Something about left hip. So I'm sure if anyone knows more.
This is her son, David. She went in for an MRI this morning, and I think that's where she's doing right now. But yeah, she's had a lot of pain in her hip lately, and it caught up with her, but I think she'll be fine. And we ask for your prayers for her.
This is Ruth Hinton, and I'm asking prayers for all those that are at General Assembly, 8 from our region, Noah, maybe something more. But my soul just started bursting in the car on the way over here this morning, wanting to tell you that, excuse me, at the end of the month, I will be joining all those of you who are retired.
I know it. This is Robin Miller, and I'd like to ask for prayers for my brother, Mike Gore. He was diagnosed with lymphoma this week. We don't have any details yet, but we're pretty sure he's going to have to go over, have chemo treatment and then a second surgery. And also, they finally scheduled my knee surgery for next month. So, to me, that's a joy. So, thank you.
This is Sean Kelly, and our oldest three kids is Aunt. Her name is Sherry. I won't tell her last name because she's kind of a private person, but their Aunt Sherry needs your prayers. They had to take her to Wichita Hospital last night for some pretty serious medical conditions. So please keep Kathy and our oldest children and their aunt in her prayers. Thank you.
Okay, any others? Okay, let us pray, please. Our Father in heaven, we have so many joys and so many concerns to share. The joy of the beautiful flowers sitting on my left from Ivan's funeral. The loss of a dear member, Helen Steed. Our prayers to go out to Margie Kirby as she is in the hospital this morning. Our congratulations to the Hutchinson Monarchs as they enter the World Series. We pray for all of those at General Assembly and congratulate Ruth on her upcoming retirement. Our prayers go to Mike as he has been diagnosed with lymphoma, and to the knee surgeries, to Kathy and Sean for their Aunt Sherry prayers as she is in the hospital in Wichita. We humbly come before you with all of our joys, our celebrations, and our sorrows, thanking you for all the blessings of life that you so graciously give us each day in this world of political and social turmoil. As we listen to the concerns and celebrations, we ask that you walk humbly with those that are hurting and lost, give grace to those that are suffering, and guide all that they will be blessed with your mercy. We admit that life's changes often leave us feeling weary and overwhelmed. Bless us with your strength that we may endure the trials that might come our way. Fill us with endurance to keep going when our road gets tough. Help us to remember that you are with us through every difficulty. Teach us to rely on you, not just when things are easy, but especially when they're hard. May we learn to see trials as opportunities to grow in faith and character. Give us the endurance to keep pressing forward when we feel like giving up. Let us find rest in you, knowing that you are our source of strength and that you will carry us through whatever we face. Help us to remain steadfast in our faith, trusting that you have a purpose for everything we go through. We thank you for being our rock and our refuge. We place our trust in you, knowing that you will help us endure all things. In Jesus' name we pray the prayer that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our scripture this morning is from Psalm 133. How good and pleasant is it when God's people live together in unity? Is it like precious oil poured on his head, on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe? Is it as the dew of the rising were falling on Mount Zion? For there the Lord bestows his blessings, even life forevermore. Hear the word for the people of God.
I had a thought when Jerry was giving his sermon last week, and I thought, well, I'm just going to talk about life being hard, but church is harder. Church is hard. And then all week long, I've gone back and forth, and I thought, well, I can't change it because it's already published. I've got to make something work with what is in the church bulletin. And I started some research as to why people don't attend church today. And I found that there are basically seven reasons. There's the society's conflict with our church of today. There's the political conflict. There's the thought of persecution and misunderstanding for people that follow the Christian faith, the distractions of our life. There's cultural distractions, cultural pressure. People are saying, is it really relative today? People trying to balance faith and modern life. And then there's internal struggles. And that's what I'm going to address today, the internal struggles of coming to church, of being present in a church, in a worship. And I think that despite all of the challenges, Christianity can be a deeply rewarding and a deeply enriching journey for those that are willing to give it a go. Life is hard, as I said, and I think church is harder. And someone once said to me a few weeks ago, they said, you know, Marilyn, being a Christian is hard. But I find that attending church, attending any type of a spiritual gathering, is just really difficult. And so I got to thinking, why is it difficult? And then I was just literally flipping through my mother's old Bible, and I just happened to, I was reading through Luke, and in the sixth chapter, Jesus is giving us a lot of rules or plans or suggestions, and he said, We've got to love our enemies. We've got to do good to those that bless us. We have to bless those that curse us. We have to turn the other cheek. We are not to judge. We're not to condemn. We're to be merciful as He is merciful. And I got to thinking, that is hard. That is hard when someone has beat you down, to just embrace them and forgive them and move on. And I think a lot of people struggle with that today. I do. And the last few weeks I've been involved in a thing that has been quite controversial, and it involves a lot of people. And the meeting I was in, it was very heated, and the discussion was, it was seriously a heavy discussion. And as I started looking around and really watching and listening, there were about 15 people there, attorneys included. I saw some people, and I really felt their hearts were really burdened. And then I looked at others, and their chests were just puffed up like banshee hens, I guess. And I saw sorrow and pain and arrogance and curiosity and humility and fear and concern and forgiveness. And all of this was together in a single room because we were trying to solve an issue that would be the best for lots and lots of people. And I just kept thinking, a person's perception is the reality. And I imagine that everyone here at some point in their life has had something hit them square in the face, and that is the reality. And it might not be the real reality as the world sees it, but for them, it's just, bam, life has hit them. So I have come to the conclusion that church is hard. And so then I started thinking about the people that I see every Sunday, the people that I take communion to. I started looking at the names in our church register, and I thought, where are they? How are they? I started questioning, and I was talking to even some people in the church, and I would say, has this person moved? Have they died? Have they joined another church? Do you know, did their feelings get hurt about something? Did they disagree with a policy or a procedure or something that came into play in our church? Did life hit them? Did something change in their personal life where they just can't bring themselves to come to the door? Maybe it was a divorce or a death of a family member. Or did they just simply drift away? I think drifting is pretty easy. There's not a lot of thought or pain or effort. And so did they just drift away? All of the people that were used to come and fill the sanctuary, where are they? And then I thought about the people that I see almost every day, the people that live on the skids, that think and act. They have a different philosophy, a different outlook on life, totally different than anyone in this sanctuary this morning. And I thought, where are they? Do they worship? And if so, where do they worship? And how do they worship? And then I kept coming back to church. It's so hard to walk through the doors, probably for most of us sitting here. And so I came up with a list of reasons why I think church is hard. And I will beforehand say I am not offending anyone. Probably every one of these applies to me and 1,000 more I didn't write down. I think church is hard for people walking through the door because I think some people think they're going to be judged. And then I thought about Jerry. I thought about our ministers. And I thought, is not church hard for ministers and their families? Because do we not put them under the microscope 24/7? Ooh, I don't think I would ever want to be a minister because I would go, am I breathing in the right? I mean, people do that. So that is difficult. And then what about the prodigal souls, those that want to come back or they've come back, but they've been hurt and they've literally been battered by the world? And what about the lady that walks in and looks like, oh dear, she has it all together, and she does not. She doesn't have anything in her life together. And the couple that argued on the entire way to church, and then they have to come in, and they probably can't continue, or they won't continue arguing, but it makes a different dynamic. And the single parents that come, I had one lady say, that's all I see is happy couples with these perfect families, and here I am a single mom. And the widow and the widower that have to walk through or try to walk through the door for the first time without their spouse of many, many years. For the people that have an estranged family relationship, either with parents, brothers, sisters, maybe it's their own children. For people that, when we sing songs, can absolutely become overwhelmed by the lyrics of our song. I think life is hard for our church leaders because, you know, I think maybe a lot of us are insecure in our roles. Are we really doing the best we can? Are we doing what we should be doing? The husband and wife that just is sitting with their spouse and they just want to be loved and they just want to be cherished and feel like they count. The nursery volunteers, the people that come and help in the nursery, and their greatest prayer is that they could have children of their own. The teenagers, the young people that I will just literally say wearing the scarlet letter. They think their parents are embarrassed. They think their church family is embarrassed. They're embarrassed where they shouldn't be. They just made a different choice. And so then we need to support them to deal with those choices. Church is hard for sinners, whatever a sinner or whoever a sinner is. It's hard for all of us, I think, because the outside world, it looks shiny and perfect. And one of my grandmothers used to say, Sunday best in behavior and dress. That's just what was expected. But I think underneath the layers of all of us, every one of us, we just have some little imperfections, and we're just striving to get along in the world, those of us that are here and those of us that we so want to come back through our doors. And with all of those really depressing things being said, I thought, I need to really share, and again, my own opinion of what a church really, really is. I really don't think church is like our beautiful sanctuary that we have. I don't think it's a mentality, and I don't think church is an expectation. I think church is a body, and it's a body of believers that are bound together and that we all recognize there is an eternal love that is given to each of us through the grace of God. I think church is a holy, sacred ground where offenders or sinners, we all stand as equals before the throne of grace. And a lot of people say before the throne of God, but I think the throne of God is simply a throne of grace. I think that church is a refuge for people with broken hearts and also a training ground for mighty warriors. I think church is a convergence of a lot of confrontation and a lot of invitation, where our sins, where your sins, where everyone's sins, perceived or real. I think church is a place where they can be faced and we can seek restoration. I think our church is a living, moving, breathing, continual lesson and challenge in faith and trust. Church and even the physical building is where church bears our burdens and it can give us hope. Church is a family. It's a coming together. It's a setting aside of differences, forgetting past mistakes, and just rejoicing in the smallest little tiny increments, rejoicing in the fact we're all here today, that we could all get up and come. That's a total blessing. So I think on hard days, when we're at odds with friends, when we've argued with a spouse, when we're running late, when we've walked in bearing burdens heavier than our own heart can handle, and we mask the pain and we put a smile on our faces, when we've worn that scarlet letter, when we've been under a microscope, when we've longed for a child to hold, when we just cry during the lyrics of a song, when we walk back in or walk through the doors again, and maybe in some ways we're broken or afraid after walking away, we need to remember and to remind everyone, Jesus will meet us, and he's going to greet us, and he's going to greet us with open arms no matter what we have or have not done. I think choosing to be a Christian today, as I said, is hard. There are the personal struggles and challenges, and it's not merely about surviving the difficulties, but I think it's surviving and thriving during the midst of our difficulties, of letting go and letting our faith shape us and becoming more Christ-like in the process. Our church today, Park Place, is facing so many challenges. We're looking for and seeking a minister. We're thinking about, or we're in the process of getting our roof replaced. We have the upcoming garage sale that is a challenge, so we can have a digital sign. We want to increase our memberships. We want to have a thriving congregation. We want to have a lot of Sunday school classes. Wouldn't it be glorious to have a huge choir again? We just want and need so much, and we're seeking so much. But I think the greatest challenge we have, forgetting everything else, is the challenge of reaching our members that have just slipped away. They've just quietly slipped away. So I think we have three choices, and we can be three types of people within Park Place. We can be those that watch things happen. We can be the person that makes things happen. Or we can be that individual that wonders what just happened. So think about it this week. Which one are you, and which one can we be as a church? Are we going to make things happen? Are we going to watch things happen? Or are we just going to all of a sudden in wonder ask ourselves, what just happened? Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for guiding us among the challenges we face as a church and as an individual. We ask for your strength as we navigate our personal Christian journey. Help us stand firm in our faith, reflect your love, and be your light in the world. Let your word go out through our lives. Your kingdom will come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Our communion hymn today is Kumbaya, and we're going to sing all verses. We gather today at this table of Holy Communion and invite everyone, no matter your faith, no matter your beliefs, to share with us. Shall we pray?
Dear Lord, thank you for these symbols of the bread and cup, that they remind us of everything we do, and they'll draw us all together to each other. And now as we take the bread and cup, fill us again with your Spirit, that we may carry this oneness into our world. Amen.
And on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take, eat, for this is my body, which has been broken for you." And likewise, he took the cup, and he blessed it, and he said, "Take, drink, this is my blood, which has been spilled for you for the remission of your sins. As often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you will proclaim the Lord's death until he come."
Our call to giving this morning. We know that in God's presence there's life forevermore. He pours out his blessing upon us. As we experience his goodness and grace in every aspect of life, let us return our love by the giving of our tithes and offerings, and we may go each day knowing that the presence will be always guiding us and giving us strength to face each day. Let us now receive our morning offering. Lord, today we ask you to bless these tithes and offerings that have been brought forth today. May we use them to please you. May we use them to reach outside these walls and touch many lives. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
At this point in our service, it probably is one of the most special times. So as we sing our closing hymn, Lord, I Want to Be a Christian, we'll be singing all verses together. And now, as we go forth into the world, may we not be dismayed. May the Spirit of God promise to strengthen and uphold you by his right hand. Farewell.